Proverbs chapter number 22 this morning. Nothing out of the way this morning. I mentioned Sunday school. God has impressed upon me through the month of May to preach on the home, and specifically in the area of children and parents. You say, well, my kids are grown. Well, if you're a grandparent, you get to practice this two ways. By the way, you're still mom and dad to your kids. I mean, mine are getting into their 50s. I don't know how they do that with a 45-year-old granddad, but, and grandchildren who are, oh my goodness. Did I hear one of them turned 30 this year? Y'all figured out who that was, didn't you? But we all have a tremendous opportunity when it comes to children. I want you to turn to chapter 22, verse 6. Great verse. We're going to dissect it a little bit this morning. I hope it'll be a blessing to your heart. It says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. My goodness. We have instruction and a promise. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much to be able to preach to people that are right here with me. Lord, I thank you for that as never before. If you've taught me anything, it's the beauty of being around your people. I thank you, Lord, this morning for the privilege to be able to have in our hands the Word of God. And we realize today that there is a tremendous need of raising up another generation for you. Lord, if we're going to really see an enlightenment, a revival, it starts in our homes and goes to our children, and it will last for many years. So, oh God, I pray you will begin that in our hearts. For we pray in Christ's name. Amen. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. One of the things I have learned is children are the heritage of the Lord. Psalm 127:3 says, lo, children are heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. Now, some people don't look upon their kids as a gift from God, but a curse. I feel sorry for those folks. God has given us something marvelous there, and it is our children. They are a gift from God. And as we think about that, then we must consider and be careful to raise them up for him. How can we kill them in the womb and raise them for the Lord? How can we do that? As we shake our fist in the face of God, I don't want your gift, and you can have it back. By the way, there's a silver lining in abortion. I believe those children are taken to the presence of God. But I believe at the same time, it brings a special curse upon those who are involved in it. But God's given us a marvelous privilege and opportunity. I'm glad for one thing. I'm glad that God gives them to them as we're younger in life and we can handle it. I love having my grandkids around. And some of them will get, I hope you don't misunderstand this, but sometimes the taillights on your dad and mom's car look really good. I want to tell you this. It's a blessing that they like to come. I've had them stop by and say hello. I've had them stay all night. Through all of this, we've had about 3 or 4 nights every week where we've been by ourselves. And really, I love that. God's given us something. I will tell you this. Child rearing for the Lord is hard work. It is not easy. God gives us, I think, the physical to help us study how people are spiritually, that we might apply things that are physical into the spiritual realm. For instance, the Bible calls a newborn Christian a babe in Christ. We find that, what do we do with babies? We feed them. I figured out a long time ago that if you quit feeding them, you didn't have to change diapers. But we just keep on feeding them and keep on changing diapers. But listen, we understand this. We must be fed the Word of God as well. I want to think about babies for just a moment and do so in the physical sense. For 9 months, they are quarantined in their mother's womb, protected by a water sack, bubble wrap. Now think about this for a moment. When babies are born, when they're born, though they've been quarantined for 9 months, they come forth, they do not have an immune system. It's not there. When they're born, we find that all the woman's energy and strength is used. We find that they are completely helpless and they're dependent upon their parents. We see them as they lay on their backs in their crib and sometimes on their tummy, and we see their little movements and they're very awkward. And they seem to be without any reason other than God uses those to help that child to weight train as an infant. I mentioned they're without an immune system, but yet what are they constantly doing? They're constantly grabbing things and putting it into their mouth. Have you noticed that? They're not particular about it. It's whatever's in the way. And again, it's God's method of introducing to that child small amounts of germs that will help produce antibodies that they might develop their immune system. What an awesome idea! By the way, that's science. It's also good sense. We find that parents constantly repeat certain words over and over again, so the baby begins to recognize language. And many times it becomes a challenge between mom and dad as to which name that baby is going to pronounce first. Is it going to be mama or daddy or whatever name you've been trying to juggle into their mind for years? What's really funny is when they say grandma or grandpa first. And it is amazing, the first word they say, everybody thinks it's them. Yeah. Parents, they snuggle their little children, they make over them, and they learn that people love them. They learn that through touch. They get a little bit older, and parents, they grab them by their hands, and they begin to kind of walk them around. And I see that here often in our auditorium, and they're back there's training grounds. And they got their little fingers in their hand, and they're walking along, and you know, they're doing this sort of thing, and teaching that little child how to walk takes a while to do it. After a while, they kind of let go just a little bit, and it isn't too awful long until they're walking. I watched a little Leia this morning as she came walking down the aisle. It was probably about 25 after 9 this morning, and she's walking down, and I'm sitting back there. And she falls down, and she's got on this nice big, what do you call these? Look like a formal to me. Nice dress on. And so when she stands up, her feet are on the hem of the dress. So she's caught. She's trapped. And it was funny to watch her figure out how to put her feet back a little bit farther so she didn't have them on there so she could get up. They learn these things. How does it take place? Because we introduce them to these things. All these things and more are practiced by most parents. However, our goal ought to be to direct them in the right direction, as this verse says, in the way he should go. What is the most important thing? To learn how to walk or to learn how to walk for God? What's most important? What's more important, to eat food to sustain the body or to eat the Word of God to sustain the soul? And all this takes training because we are not born that way. We're born helpless, and we need people to help us. And so God says, train them up in the way they should go. That means that we must initiate them to the proper path. We've got to take them to that spot where the door can be open and they can begin to walk through it on their own. Let's take your Bible, book of Deuteronomy, for a moment. You might not see the connection for a little bit, but let's look here. Deuteronomy chapter number 17. Deuteronomy chapter 17. God is here given direction to the children of Israel through Moses. And he says in verse 14, when thou art come into the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, and shalt possess it, and shalt dwell therein, and shalt say, I will set a king over me like as all the nations that are before me, or about me, excuse me. So he's telling them, hey, when the time comes when you're going to say, I want to have a king just like the rest of the nations, he gives us this instruction. Thou shalt in any wise set him king over thee, whom the Lord thy God shall choose. The one from among thy brethren shalt thou set king over thee. Thou mayest not set a stranger over thee, which is not thy brother. Qualification to be the king of Israel. Number one, he had to be a natural born citizen. Sounds like a constitution we have, doesn't it? But they were to be somebody who was natural born. Notice verse 16. He shall not multiply horses to himself, nor cause the people to return to Egypt, to the end that he should multiply horses. For as much as the Lord has said unto you, ye shall not henceforth return no more that way. What's he telling us? Not only should he be one who's homeborn, but he also should be one who doesn't turn to another nation for his strength. In other words, he is to depend upon God to get them through all of what might come their way. It's not they don't have horses, it's that they were not to get them from Egypt. Egypt was a type of the world, it's where they came from. He goes on, this is good sense, neither shall he multiply wives to himself. Most guys have enough trouble with one, let alone two or ten. My wife read me a story yesterday about some guy, he is married. Well, how many did you tell me? 14 or 15 wives, and they're all pregnant at the same time. Guy's nuts. But he says, not to multiply wives, that his heart turn not away. Neither shall he greatly multiply to himself silver and gold. It's not a place to get rich by. I don't have much problem with a millionaire becoming somebody in our Senate or our presidency, but I have a problem with those who get there and become millionaires. And so we find that God set some things up, but we're leading up to something, because here's what I want you to see. Verse number 18, notice what it says, and it shall be when he sitteth upon the throne of his kingdom that he shall write him a copy of this law in a book out of that which is before the priests, the Levites. And it shall be with him, and he shall what? Read therein. How often? All the days of his life. Notice the next phrase. Do you notice there's a colon after life? It always means, hey, there's an explanation coming. Here's the explanation. That he may learn to fear the Lord his God and to keep all the words of this law and those statutes to do them. He is to have a copy of the Word of God. He's to read there that he might learn to fear God. Understand something, brethren. That is partly the job of a parent, to lead a child in that direction. And we are going to take the Word of God as our handbook. Now, it's interesting in chapter 22, verse 6, it says, train up. That word train We think about a dog. We train a dog to be obedient. How do you train a dog to be obedient? How do you train a dog to do something? You do it over and over again. And many times, what you do to get them to do it the first time, you offer them food. Dogs are like teenagers. Give them enough food, they'll do anything. And so you give them a treat and they do it, and you give them a treat and they do it, and then you forget a treat and they still do it, and then you back and forth, and after a while, it becomes natural to them. They're doing the same thing over and over again until there's an impression that comes upon them that is indelible. It is there. Sometimes this process is called setting the palate. One of the things I understand you can do for a child to help him to learn to like different foods is when they're young, is to put a little bit on the back of their tongue that they might be able to taste it. They might make a face to start with, but it helps to set their liking. You know, there's kids, the only thing they ever eat is just hamburgers and hot dogs and french fries. Why? Because their palate hasn't been set. So it must be that training that takes place. There must be persistence and patience. It has to be. And there's a key to all this, and that is it must take place early in life. Proverbs 13:24, it says, "He that spareth his rod hateth his son, but he that loveth him chasteneth him." You know what the next word is? It's an interesting word. Betimes. Betimes. When we think of the word be, we think of verb, the state of being. In other words, something that's right now. It's a state that's going on right now. So what is he talking about? He's talking about when he says betimes, chasteneth him now or early. You wait too long, you're going to have a problem. So it needs to be something done early. Remember, you are training them to live, not to make a living. There's a difference. A lot of folks, they want their children to learn how to do this, learn how to do that. They might somewhere go out and make a big living, that they might have all these things. But if you do not know how to live, what good are all those things? When they have grown and on their own, it doesn't matter if they are a bank president or a bricklayer, whether they've learned to live for the Lord or not is what becomes important. This is why it's so important who they are exposed to as well. Train up a child in the way he should go. And what do we have? We have a promise. And when he's old. Somebody says, what does that mean? Some say, well, it means when he's mature. Some say when he gets to be quite an elderly person. I don't know exactly what it means, but I do know this. Later on, he will not depart from it. That which is set within, it is there for good. When that palate has been set, their desire is forwarded. It becomes natural. By the way, I mentioned teenagers a while ago. You know why that they are so excited to get back to church today? They've been doing it since they were born. It's natural. It's been a part of their lives. God gives us a promise. I took this promise many years ago, and I thought, Lord, I don't know about this. I see so many preachers' kids go the wrong way, and we had a few years where there was a little bit of rebellion here and there and so forth. But I claim God's verse on this. And he says, when he's old, he will not depart from it. It's interesting that this book is written by Solomon. This verse, God used Solomon to write it down, and who went against his father's teaching for a long time? Solomon. But when you read the book of Ecclesiastes, he talks about that time, and he talks about how all those times were vain. Vanity of vanities is really one of the main verses in the book of Ecclesiastes. And he comes down to the very last of the book, and here's what he says, and important for us to remember. He says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. He says, all of that which is out there, here's the conclusion. Fear God, keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Here's a man raised by King David. Remember who David is? It's from the loins of David comes our Savior. It's that kingship that extends down to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But we find that first generation afterwards with Solomon, he did what? He took many wives against what Moses had said. He'd increased with silver and gold against what Moses had said. And he enjoyed all the luxuries of life, but he found out after a while it was not enjoyable. And he came to the spot where it talks about in this verse, he will not depart from it. And he came back. I remember the days when Billy Graham was being criticized because Franklin Graham was not really living the life he should. But guess who stands very tough on some issues today? His son Franklin. He had it right, and he got back to it. Praise God for those who never leave it. Thank God for those who don't go through that period of rebellion. But we got a promise. Train up a child how in the way he should go. That's talking about the path he's going to lead. That's talking about learning how to live by faith, learning to trust God, to believe God in all areas and situations in life. It's taking, I'll use this, the book of Proverbs and being able to apply those verses to different things that take place in life. It was written for young men to get wisdom. So parents, we ought to take that wisdom and apply it. Train them up in the way they should go. And when he's old, what's the promise? He will not depart from it. Let's assume this morning that you didn't do a real good job with that. Is there still hope? Live for God as never before. That they might see a parent that they never saw maybe some years back. And then seek God in prayer. Does God answer prayer? Yeah. And don't give up. Don't quit. God has a way. It may be seem long, it may seem like it's not going to take place. But keep at it. They have a free will. But I want to tell you something. I got a tough God who can break that will. I'm wondering if that's kind of what's going on the last couple of months. Hard to say. Train up a child in the way he should go. When he's old, he will not depart from it. Train them over and over, doing it over and over, sticking at it, being persistent. I say persistent. I mean, we correct it every time. We make sure that they follow the right direction. We can't get upset with them one time and the next time not. Need to be constant in it. And then we got to be patient. Got to be patient. How long does it take to get a dog to sit? Sometimes rather quickly. And sometimes it takes a while. Hardest thing for me, I can get my dog to sit real quick. Hardest thing to do is walk back away from me and say, stay. She forgets the word stay in about 1.5 seconds. So I'll take a step backwards and say, stay. And she'll stay. I'll take another step, say, stay. I take the third step. You know dogs have a tail that wag, but some of them have a hind end that wags the tail. And you can just see she's kind of on the back of her feet, and that back end, she's wanting to go. So stay. I can't quite get past the fourth one yet. Oh, yeah, I do. Keep at it. Keep at it. She loves to go fetch a ball. She don't like to give it to you. Been working on that one. What do you got to do? Yeah, just keep at it. She wants to run and catch it, but I'm not going to fight with her with it. Finally, she gives up, and I say, good dog. She don't even know why she's getting it. Anyway, she'll figure it out one of these days. What is this? Training. Training. We do it with our animals, but we forget that with our children. By the way, if you're a cat owner, put all those things out because they don't count with cats. You don't train cats, they train you. But God gives us a command, and God gives us a promise. Are they worth it? I look at these two girls right here. Beautiful young ladies. Really? What's neat, though, is to see what God does in their hearts and the beauty that's created inside. I'm going to tell on you. Schools have been closed. We're not. We're set up to learn at home. And so they've been bringing their stuff in from time to time or sending us pictures, and we correct it and score it and keeping records and all those neat little things. Some of our mothers are so thankful for us now. And the other day, her dad was going to bring her in so she could score, get everything caught up. And, bring her in, do that. Do you know what he did? He told on you. I'm going to embarrass you. She was so excited to come. She got up. I don't know when she cut her hair. She did it herself. Looks really nice. Got herself all dressed up nice and pretty. As far as I knew, she went out and bought a new dress. That's what we're looking for. Amen. You can have all the outer beauty you want, but what's inside? And I look at those, I see that. I can go to all of our kids. Madison happened to be sitting here, but I see these hearts. They don't come by accident. It's hard work, parents. Train them up. It's worth it. It's worth it. Amen. I saw Grace for the first time after 2 or 3 weeks. I hadn't really seen her. I saw her kind of a distance, I think, once or twice. And she was standing next to Jalen. And she's taller than Jalen now. And it's always so wonderful to see her smile. She's always wearing her hair in a little bun up here, so I call her a knothead. It fits. But to see those kids rise up, it's marvelous. Saw Colton a week ago, and I looked at him, and I thought, Last time I saw him was an inch shorter. I didn't know you could mess your leg up and grow. But he did. That's what we want, amen? Train up a child in the way he should go. When he's old, he'll not depart from it. Does God know what he's talking about? Definitely. Definitely. Let's pray. Lord God, today we've spoken of raising our children. But Lord, some of us here maybe don't know he is our own Savior. Perhaps not been raised for the cause of God. Lord, maybe if today was the day of death, our next abode would not be heaven but hell. Lord, I'm so thankful today that we can trust in you for what you did for us upon the cross of Calvary. That you actually paid the price of sin by dying. And you made us just in the sight of God by rising again. And you've told us that if we would believe that, you would save our hell-deserving soul. It's beyond my imagination how just believing something could change my eternal destiny. But you're God. And you have done that. That's all we got to do. And so, Lord, I pray that you would impress that upon anyone in this room that doesn't know you. I pray for our parents in this room that sometimes they get discouraged and distraught. Help them to understand that what you have given it is hard work, but it's worth it. It's well worth it. And Lord, for some who perhaps didn't do it quite the way it should have been, Lord, not for condemnation, but for instruction's sake, help them. Help them, oh God, to reach those grown children. Lord God, help them through their life. Help them in the things that they say. Lord, help us to pray for those who be around them that would have the right influence. Lord, do that work in hearts and lives. I pray in Christ's name. Amen.